Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Roundtable here on MyCountyLink.com. As this group of august men talk about different things going on around West Central Ohio, especially here in Dark County. Glad you could join us today. I guess you could say this would be our special holiday edition of the Roundtable.
You said August, man. This is
December. Well, August has different meanings. We'll talk about that, too.
Women.
We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Anyhow, glad you could join us here today. Got Mike Stiegel, Galen Blosser, Ty House back from a big adventure, and we're just going to kind of freelance it today like we normally do, and hope you folks find things of interest here today. And Ty, let's talk a little bit about the big adventure across the pond there.
It was. It was a huge adventure, quite a humbling and a blessed experience. Our church sponsors New Life Chapel out of Westchester. We sponsor a whole lot of programs throughout the United States and in Haiti and across the country, some ministries. And one of our ministries is in Uganda. And it's an orphanage. Plus, not only it's an orphanage, the two people that run it who just got married raised 20 kids there, ages from 6 to 16, in a house, I wouldn't call it a house, but very, very poor. But we do sponsor those and all the other ministries that they do. They go across the area spreading food and preaching the word to those people. Very humbling experience, like I said. The roads were all, you could drive across a plow field and it would be better. It would rain every morning, but it was like a red soil like you'd see in Alabama or Georgia. And it would just rut it out. You'd bottom out driving a car through there.
There were just two of you that went, right?
Just two of us went from church. That's the first, somebody else had been over there just one time. And we sponsor a young man, adopted a young man, and so did they, in that orphanage. And you help support them through school, etc. And so we decided, well, let's go over there. You know, kind of a, not a lark, but we talked about it. No one had been there. And one thing led to another, and we thought we'd be like a year to get all this stuff around, and boom, in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks, we had the tickets, we were on a plane, and there we were at. We spent 12 days there and lost probably 2 days in flight time because there are 8 hours difference there. By the time you go to Amsterdam, to Rwanda, to there, it's in layovers, you've got a time.
When you say there, tell people where Uganda is and the capital and a little bit about the culture and language and so forth.
Uganda is located in Eastern Africa. It's at the headwaters of the Nile. There's Victoria Lake that they border with Tanzania and Victoria Lake there, which is the second largest freshwater lake in the world, with Lake Superior being the first, I believe. So it's there. We flew into Kampala, which is their capital, and then you heard the airport Entebbe. You remember back in the day where the Israels and Benjamin Dada was in charge or something, and Israel went there and got their athletes out of there. So back in the Olympic,
they were being held hostage.
Right? So anyway, then flew into Entebbe. That's the name of the airport, which is not the old Entebbe. They got a new airport down the road, which we flew into. But from that standpoint, we drove probably an hour. We stayed with a man who goes to our church. He lives in Westchester. His name is Ian Michael Raganda. He said, my dad gave me Irish names. He signed from Uganda. I don't know how I got that. Anyway, he has a house, but the house there is, I would work like a house on Gardenwood, that kind of a size, but surrounded by a wall and razor wire because you're just in a
has a sign out front that says welcome.
It has a door closed. He has two guys. This man's remarkable. He did really well in the United States, came over and did real well, made a career, and he's probably in his early 50s. But he goes over there every few weeks, spends some time, and he's put a store in. He hires kids. He's got through 400 kids that he's helped one way or the other.
Wow.
And every 2 years, he rotates, brings new kids in. These kids don't have to go to school or to cost money. They don't have jobs. It's very, if you take a look at like an old portion of National Geographic, open it up and there's, I mean, it's that way. Get out of the city. The city's a modern city, but you get 10 miles out of the city, you're in a little rougher area, poorer area, I should say. Very unique. But anyway, we happened to be over there and we were staying with him, then we'd drive another hour every morning to like come pick us up and go out to where the our orphanage was. And then we would go from there to other places, went to Bugugu Island, it's called the poorest of the poor. And you see, I mean, they're in mud huts, that's what they live in. And we passed out some Bibles and to kids, one school went to, they can only go to seventh grade because that's as far as they can go, there's no school there. And they're on an island, and to get that into town, they have to have someone sponsor them and stuff, and that's just not there.
There's a huge difference between the metropolitan area of Kampala and then the countryside,
very much
correct?
So. Very much so, yeah.
How big is Kampala? How many people?
I think the surrounding area, I think there's 2 million, but I think the surrounding area is like four. It's bigger than you would think.
Wow.
We looked it up, I believe, and it's something like that. So, but you get out of that, and that's really all the government headquarters is. And it's very, I think the president's been there for 40 years. One of those deals is, Constitution says 8 years, but he's changed the Constitution every 5 years. So, but everything is really nice there, a minister of the government owns. But out, you get out and about in the countryside, it's totally different. And so we stayed at the Bugugu Island, which was really an eye-opener, the whole place was, but there in particular, and we're talking about mud huts, and you walk in, there are dirt floors, and they're not any bigger than, you know, two times this table, where someone would come in, that'd be where they would eat their dinner, then might have a little room where they would sleep. But they didn't, it wasn't like they felt poor. You know, it's like we grew up, you know.
They didn't know.
We didn't know either. You know, you grew up, you had your Sears and Roebuck jeans on rather than Levi's, and you know, you didn't, your buddies did too, right? You just didn't know. So, but we went, really a couple of touching scenes. Around this lake, which is a beautiful lake, you would think it'd be all developed. To be in the United States, it'd have hotels and stuff. It's not. You just walk right out, and it's, the huts are right there. People get their drinking water there. They carry, it looks like gas cans, but they go fill their water up, and then they also wash their motorcycles. Botas, they call them over there, Botas. They wash their motorcycles in the sink. Got to get water, and they were washing their motorcycle right beside it. That's amazing. They had one well on the island, and it was a fairly big island, relative. You just couldn't walk to this place. Only a few people around there got it. Went to the one school, and a really poor, I mean, it's just a shackled wood building. That's what they, and there's 100 kids there. Teachers are remarkable, do the best, but we passed out Bibles and went to another school, a little better school, and had 400 kids, and they had uniforms on. All the kids wore uniforms, and so we did the same thing there. We fed them. Part of our thing was we fed them, and it was like they have like a porridge, and then they have a pot of chicken stew or something like that, and everybody, that's what you had. But we passed out lollipops. We passed out Bibles to kids who could read. There was like probably a couple hundred of them. They were kids' Bibles. And the rest of them, probably another 250 or thereabouts, were just little ones that couldn't read. So we went and bought a, we had a bunch of lollipops, which you gave to them. Now this is, you really made, this really good touching. So we looked around, you know, some of the kids had us off, a lot of little ones. I'm talking just, you know, maybe 5 or 6 year olds had the lollipop with the paper on in their mouth. They didn't realize you
didn't
had to take the paper. So we would get the, I said, well, here, you know, start taking the paper, and we got a picture, and pretty soon there's a bunch of kids have their lollipops up so we can take the paper. You know, which was, I mean, it's something that simple that you just don't realize how blessed we are here in the United States, you know, and help out with that.
Yeah, the thing that always amazes me is after, at this point in history here in, you know, 2024, and over the years, how much different countries and organizations have poured aid into these countries, and yet they still have those kind of living conditions. The wealthy get wealthier and the poor get poorer. Is that where the money goes, guys?
Exactly. Pretty much. If you're in the ministry, like I say, they talk about that, that the ministry, if you're a minister, or they say there's a lot of mediocrity because if I'm the president and you're my son, or I know you can be an engineer, and you know, you're not picking the best, but you got a leg up. Over there, it's basically who you know, not what you know, big time. Now, it's here that way too, obviously, but there it's really a big time. Hmm. But they do the best they can. I mean, no one was, you know, sad, everything was clean, but very poor. I had 6 boys staying in a room, again, twice the size of this table at the most, you know, but it was clean. But everything's outside. There's no inside plumbing, right? When they did their washing, everybody had pans of water outside. No, this is where we're at, and they dried their clothes, laid them on the ground. And so it had kind of to them, you know, you could actually put a clothesline.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
So we did. But it was things that that's how you grow up, and that's what
that's
you do.
How they've done it for centuries, probably.
Yeah.
What was the water you drank? Was it?
Bottled water.
You drank all bottled water?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They had bottled water. They had a well at this at the orphanage, I call it. It's out in the middle of the country, way out nowhere land. And so people would come there and use their well. The people around the neighborhood would use their well to get water. And they had a hose to go out to the well, from the well, and they would get their water, then they'd hook it and drag it to their house where the girls stayed. They had girls and boys. The girls stayed in a house, and the boys stayed in a hut.
What route did you take to get to Uganda, and how long did it take, total?
On the way back, it was 30 hours, but a lot of that was changing.
Yeah, changing time.
Over time.
But what, about 8 or 9 hour difference?
Eight hour difference.
Is it 8 hour difference?
But we flew from Cincinnati to Atlanta to Amsterdam.
Okay, that's a good flight, wasn't it?
To Rwanda, which is right next door. And it was like a drop-off. People got off the plane, people got back on. That was an hour and a half, and then flew into Entebbe. On the way back, it was Entebbe right to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam to Minneapolis. But it was like a four-hour wait in Amsterdam and a four-hour layover in Minneapolis. You know, so you had a lot of time sitting there, and then back home to Cincinnati, and then two-hour drive home.
30 so, hours?
Yeah. All told, it was a 30-hour day.
Wow. Did you ever not feel safe?
No, I felt safe all the time. You know, now their official language is English, believe it or not, and a lot of it's Swahili. But they'll talk amongst themselves a little bit in both English and Swahili. They'll can't think of the English word, and they'll talk about, you know. But yeah, all the signs, all the advertisements, if you want to, you know, on the side roads or going through a town, there was I mean, just shacks outside, people selling stuff if you go through a little town. Otherwise, you're just in a mud place. But there's English signs.
Was that, did they speak English because weren't they once part of the English Empire?
Yeah, they were a protectorate, British protectorate.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, huh. But the amazed me, it was just a beautiful lake, but it was just, it'd be like us walking, you know, out to Lake Laramie. You know, you walk right out, it's right there, it is. And there's no, Lake Laramie has a park. There's no park we were at. Now, if you go up, I guess, toward where the Nile starts, the headwaters of the Nile, there's a place up there. It's really pretty. I guess we didn't get a chance to see that. But another thing we were over there was for a wedding. The two people that run it, run our thing, they got married. So we were in the wedding, had our little tuxes on and stuff. We were at, it was a very American type wedding, wasn't, you know. And then the gentleman, Michael, who's done a lot of work over there, built a little store that hires people. And he's had help like 400 kids, but he's been a life dream of his to open what I call a little clinic, but it's like a little Kettering, DC Kettering North little place. And he opened that up. So we were there at the grand opening and helped open up. First day, 700 people, this is little kids and adults came there. So we were helping with blood pressure and all that, but the doctors and the nurses, there were a couple of doctors and a dentist, they were all kids that he had helped. And so they were helping there. And people, it's for villages. This is out in the middle of nowhere. So these people opened at 10, but they were there like at 5:30, getting in line.
You said their government is, guy's been in charge for like 40 years. What kind of a system of government? Is it a dictatorship, or are they more of a?
They have a parliament, but it's pretty much like,
like control.
Assad, you know what I mean? You know, yeah, like everybody's got a
parliament. So he's basically a dictator.
They rubber stamp everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they do have what they call, I would call them states. I didn't realize there's little sections that I'm from this area, and they have like chiefs in that area. So I would call them like governors. Mm. But the ultimate headquarters is done with the central government, but they have chiefs can have their own little rules. So they're like, they call them chiefs.
You said it had been several years since anybody from your church had gone over there. Do you foresee down the road here that you'll be sending more people from your church over there?
I would imagine the key is it's logistics. If you could send, you want to have Michael there because Michael had a house. Mm-hmm. Okay, he only goes there for a couple, 3 weeks at a time, then he's back home in Westchester. So but he goes, he has somebody who manages a store, but he'll go back over and opening that clinic. We helped, the church helped with that, but he did a big part of his own money mm-hmm. when he was building this. And it's a nice clinic. I mean, it's just amazing. So give credit where credit's due. But the church's been blessed, the people have been blessed to be able to support that sort of thing and mm-hmm. To go there and actually witness it. Sitting on TV and watching National Geographic show is one thing. To actually
be there,
witness some of that, the poverty, and to help some of the people in need. But it was really sad. We went to a place, another little school, and which would help out and build a latrine for them. There's no indoor, it's the latrines you build. We had done that, but they were playing soccer on a field that was like a hayfield, like a better word. They got a soccer. Kids came there and played soccer. And there was a couple, really good players. I mean, you could tell that kid's an athlete. You know, that mm-hmm. kid's an athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their favorite sport, right? But that kid could do something. Mm-hmm. But that's all he was going to be able to do. He was sixth grade, had one more grade. That was done.
We've, all four of us have been overseas. It's really eye-opening to go overseas and see how good we have it in America.
Oh,
and when you have people say, I'm going to leave America, it really makes you appreciate what we have here, I'm sure.
You certainly, like I said, I'm blessed, but it's humbled. It's a humbling experience to realize. And you know, the opportunities, people, I don't know how many kids, you know, the adopted speaking English and said, they want to come to America.
Yeah.
Mm. I graduate in 2 years. I want to be a lawyer. They want to be a lawyer. They want to be a doctor. They want to be an analyst. They want to do all the things. They understand that, but they don't, you know, I like to come. They want to go to America where there's opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back here and you look at folks that if you take that person, that child, and brought them over here, they would do something. They would go, right? Because they have a drive. We have a lot of people here that don't have that drive. They kind of like coast through,
you
know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little eye-opening. And I suppose they probably have coasters over there too, but I didn't see any. You know, yeah. Just the kids that just the ability to go to school for heaven's sakes. 12 years.
Some people that have coasted have done pretty good. Not mention anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's just been a great experience for you. And,
yeah, it really has.
Certainly just very beneficial for those folks over there that your church does this.
Yeah, and if you want to, we're able to do it. And we do some other ministries. That happened to one that we happen to take care mm-hmm. of. But they want us to lose 2 hours of life and look at pictures. I've got to.
I was going to ask you. You said picture of the sucker. I was going to say, if you have pictures, I would love to have them and put them on our site for people to look at.
Yeah, I could send some to you.
So if we could do that. Also, if somebody wanted to help support this program, who would they get in touch with?
Through our probably NLC church in Westchester. Or, I connect them with somebody. But, you know, we just have something called, you have your regular church, you have your regular tithing, right? Then we have one special day. It's called Heart for the House, which everybody's above and beyond, whatever.
Not the Thai house.
Yeah, not. I always say that, but it didn't work that way. And we paid ourselves. People at the church pay for it? No, we did our pay for our own way over there. But anyway, people can donate. And then there's different, there's like half a dozen or 12 different things they support. Butler County, women with pregnancies and things. There's a whole lot of things they do, but this has happened to be one that we kind of took a hold of. But yeah, they accept donations, and I can assure you this is not one after witnessing and being there and a couple of these other things too. It's money very well mm-hmm. spent and not waste. I can pay that. So
thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. That's a great experience.
It was. And, thank you.
That's
truly blessed. That was
truly blessed.
Really blessed.
That's right. That's very honorable of you to do that.
Yeah. Galen, what do you have? You had something
that
you wanted to talk about. Oh, you need notes, huh?
I need notes. You know, we have a lot of good people in Dark County, a lot of good mm-hmm. things going here that people don't see and just kind of go under the radar. But a good friend of mine, we serve on the Honor Guard here together, and Richard Groh, he's a United States Navy Vietnam veteran. He's the vice commander at American Legion Post here. He's also a life member of the VFW. He'll be the commander next year. He has his own semi-truck, his own business. He goes to goes to Maine each year and picks up a load of reefs.
Ah.
All at his own expense, another one. So Richard and his wife, Debbie, they pay all their own expenses to go up to Columbia Falls, Maine. That's a 1,150-mile trip for a pickup. This year, he has the honor, and it's a very elite thing, he gets to deliver the wreaths to Arlington National Cemetery.
Wow. That's quite an honor, wow.
He will be taken. He's there right now. He just texted me yesterday. They're there now dropping them. But at Arlington, there are 230,000 wreaths, I think, go into Arlington. He can put 6,000 on his truck.
Oh, my gosh.
There's 45 to 50 semis loads of in Arlington right now.
The wreaths are already shaped when they pick them up?
Right. And we have them here each year. So he went up to Maine, picked it up, then he goes to Arlington, he comes back here. That's a total of 2,410 miles that he and his wife drive. He pays all his own fuel. If you figure that out, that's 500 to 600 gallons of diesel fuel, the wear and tear on his truck.
Yeah.
So it's another huge donation he does. Across America, there are 3,400,000 wreaths that would be out. There's a small amount that go overseas to our American
cemeteries
over there. And the Fort Greenville Daughters of American Revolution are very involved here too.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, of course, this will already have aired, or won't have aired yet. Tomorrow out at the cemetery, Union Cemetery, there will be a ceremony out there in the Reese place.
Do all these wreaths come from the same place?
Yes.
Wow.
They come from Columbia Falls, Maine.
Wow.
Right now there are like 600 or more semis go in there and pick up, and they, but I mean, they have services there for the drivers, and it's a really big deal. But you know, and the other part of this is Classic Carriers out of Versailles.
Yeah.
I think it's Lucas
Sutherland. Yeah, Luke Sutherland.
Yeah, he's very involved in this. And up until a year or two ago, Richard Groh had to rent a trailer at $500 just to go up there and back. Well, now Classic Carriers also goes and picks up, and they are providing him the trailer at no charge. So Lucas Subler and Classic Carriers is very involved in this too.
Yeah, they're good people.
But and just because Richard or these drivers go pick up, it doesn't mean they're coming here. One year he started in Cleveland and ended up in Kentucky with 7 drops. So it's not just they're just bringing them here. But last year Richard was able to bring them to Greenville.
I was trying to remember. Did I read something just here in Greenville? We put out how many wreaths here just in Greenville? The Daughters of the American Revolution.
I think there's well over 2,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking around 3,000 wreaths or something.
Yeah,
that he distributed.
In that area. I don't have that down here, but
it's a big deal.
And what they do when you place a wreath, and they want volunteers to come out, and we get more and more. When you place a wreath, you say the person that's buried there, you say their name, and we have soldiers that have been buried for 200 years here,
right,
that have not had their name spoken in 200 years. So when you lay the wreath, you say their name. It's a very emotional time. Yeah. And
it's very impressive.
You know, for instance, just real quick, like Steve Gruber, Don Hiddle is buried here.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that Don Hiddle is a Bronze Star recipient from World War II. He was in one of the first battles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each year they go out and lay a wreath at Don Hiddle's gravesite. And, you know, it's very touching.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, really good. There.
You know, you were talking about Luke. I think Jim suffered his dad. I think he started starting. I think Luke's been carrying it on now for a couple of years. Yeah.
They're good people.
Yeah, they are. They're really good people.
Yeah. Michael, what do you want to bring up today? Anything?
Well, not really. There's anything, you know.
But, what?
Well, I guess
what?
We could
what?
Say, who are you guys picking for the national championship? Let's go that way.
We talking football-wise?
Football-wise.
Boy, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
Who'd you pick at the start of the year? Let's put it that way.
Georgia.
That's who I picked. I'm still picking Georgia.
I still think they got a good chance. But I tell you, Texas could. I mean,
Texas. I don't think Ohio State will get out of the first round.
I think they'll have trouble with Tennessee.
I do. I think they'll have trouble with Tennessee.
That's a tough matchup. You look at the matchups. I'm not sure how they set up the thing, like a Boise State or certain. You could be an 8 seed and have a nice, easy run until they get to the final. They got to kind of consider that.
Yeah, they're going to have to change that and just seed everybody from top to bottom. And I mean, I'm glad to see like a Boise State's good, but like an Arizona State and SMU getting in. But for Arizona State and Boise both to get first round buys, they need to reseed that from top to bottom.
That's their first crack at it. So.
Yeah, they'll get a buy.
I don't know. I feel like Ohio State's a big disappointment, and I just don't think they can run the football well enough. I've said that now for 5 years. You guys have heard me preach.
How many games does Ryan Day have to win to keep his job?
He's got to win this one.
No. He's right, I think.
He's got to win at least one?
If he goes out in the first round, he's done.
Wow.
I can't blame Ohio State for that. Ryan Day is a tremendous recruiter. He sells Ohio State better than almost anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But he sells it to the elite players. He knows two things: wide receivers, running backs. He has no clue about the rest of the team. He leaves that to other people.
And his offensive line has been the detriment
over
the years.
Well, that's been since he's been there.
And that's because his buddy there is the coach.
He thinks he's one of those guys that's in love with the pass. Mm-hmm. They, you know, that's the quickest way to score. You got elite players. They have had elite players.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a quarterback that has the time to do it, and you can't run it a little bit, you're going to get beat. The good teams are going to beat you. Mm-hmm. Tennessee can run the football pretty good.
Yeah. He speaks like an old offensive lineman, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I always remember the story about Woody Hayes. Center. Remember, Woody Hayes got lost out there. He's on a recruiting trip or something. He's got lost out in a farm field someplace, and he sees this kid out there behind an old-fashioned plow behind a horse and so forth. And Woody goes over and goes, "Hey, I'm trying to find such and such." And the kid picks the plow up with one hand and points. It's that way. Woody recruits him. He's in Columbus.
Well, you know what Woody
offensive lineman.
You know what Woody always said about the pass, don't you?
Yeah.
Three things happen, and two of them are bad.
Two of them are bad, yeah. I don't know. I don't know who I'd pick in that right now. I don't think Oregon. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Oregon's defense is not that stout. They'll try to outscore you. They're fast to try to outscore you.
And that's what happened with Ohio State when they played them.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. 31-32.
And Ohio State, there wouldn't have been an offensive penalty call. It could have been a different score. But be that as it may, I think you're going to go down to win in the trenches. And I think Georgia is as stout as anybody in the trenches.
I do, too. I agree.
Maybe Ohio State needs to hire Marion Loco's coach.
I don't know if, I know Tim pretty well because I did a lot of his games, and he's not very vocal, but he gets his point across. And that's another thing. When does the Marion Local lose? They're already at, 64?
64.
They're the top 20 in the nation now. I think the lead school in the country won 135 in a row, some school from California.
Yeah. And it's amazing that you got a hats off, and the team they beat in the finals, right, okay, to win the state. They probably had the best season in their entire lifetime in the entire city and got the Hayjiggers beat out 70-0, which tells me that school, if they played the MAC, might have won 4, maybe 5 games in the MAC. Yeah. But I'm saying
maybe. Yeah,
I mean, that conference, and it's not like they're NIL kids or recruiting kids or going from this school to that school. They're all homegrown, and it's just amazing that year after year after year, and not just Marion Local. You got a Coldwater there. You got a
Minster.
You got a New Agreement. Every year,
and
somebody's
the only
there.
Team those teams lost to was each other.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, Coldwater was state champions, and they lost to Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Coldwater's a bigger school.
Yeah,
and that's the one thing too gripes me about people talking about. Well, you know, they need to move to another division. No, you need to get better. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's harder for those teams to win a league championship up there than it is to win a state title.
It is.
State
you win the league
depends on what division you're
if
in.
If you win the league championship in the MAC, you're the state champ. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
And if you're runner-up or third, you're the state champ.
You got a chance in the right division.
And you
can
go 5-5 and qualify for the playoffs and make it to the regional finals most years, too, in some division.
And only get beat by another MAC school in regional.
That's true,
another thing about Marion Local is they don't care who they play.
No.
If they want them to play more, they play And they probably give them a hell of a run for their money.
Is it true that if Marion Local wanted to, they could opt to move up a couple classes? I think you're allowed to do that.
I'm not sure if you can still do that or not. I don't know. Now that they've got seven divisions.
I know in basketball they've talked about that. The school that beat Rushi in the state finals last year, which is Richmond Twice. Heights, which is basically an AAU all-star team from three states up there. They have the opportunity, if they want, they can move up. I think it's in basketball. I don't know about football.
I don't either.
I'm not sure.
I would think there's a number when they set the playoffs up. There's a number that's got to be in each one, like 16 or whatever.
Well, speaking of that, too, Greenville's once again looking for a new coach.
I think the application process, I think the deadline for application was December 6th, so I haven't heard anything.
No, I don't know. Galen, have you heard anything at all? Or?
No. I mean, I hear bits and pieces here and there, but it'll be interesting. I know they've had applicants.
That's good.
Hey, what high school basketball, you've been around and seen what's going on here in the early stages. Anybody standing out right now as far as boys and or girls?
Boys will, I think, come down to Franklin Monroe and Tri-Village. Girls, Miss Senawalt looks like they might be running away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ansonia girls, they've got a real good team. Arcanum is decent. They have a good team. It's pretty much.
It'll shake out. We get through the next couple weeks.
Get through December.
Ty and I always say you can usually start to see the cream start coming to the top about after the first of the year, right?
So do you guys, have you missed it yet, covering?
After 28 years of looking at each other?
I miss looking at him. A little bit. It's been bittersweet. We love doing it. So, you do something, probably like,
With officiating,
right?
Yeah.
Officiating, right?
You knew it was time.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's hard to explain to somebody that when you're doing something like that you love, but there comes a time where you just know that it's time.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you have that moment while you were working, or did it come to you afterwards?
It was before because of grandkids.
That's a big thing for us, grandkids.
We had 28 years of basketball and 17 of football, and it was just, it was time to watch our kids instead of talk about somebody else's kids. And I'll tell you how that worked out. So I just got back yesterday morning. I was over with my older grandson is in Granville on the other side of Columbus. And so they had home ball games. He's a freshman. He's one of two freshmen on their JV team. And Granville's a little bit bigger than Greenville. So it's a good size, pretty good size school. And had a ball game on Tuesday night and had another ball game on Wednesday night. So I spent two nights over there, and I'll tell you what, it was time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see your kids out there running around, and he's a pretty good ball player.
I know for me, it happened in the seventh game of the season between Versailles and Coldwater, and everything was going fine. It was a great game, and we had a penalty, and the umpire or whoever came up to me and told me what they had, and I just looked at the press box, turned the mic on, did the what I'm supposed to do. And when I was walking away, I thought, something hit me. It's like, you didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You just did that automatically. And that scared me because I started thinking, did I get it right? am I going to make a mistake one of these days like that that's going to cost a team? And I thought, it's time to quit because it's too automatic for me.
That's your aha moment?
Yeah, and then I had the same thing happen in my state playoff game. The first play of the game. It was actually the first play of the game. We had a kick, kids kicked it all around in the end zone, and blah, blah, blah. Guy come up, and the other four guys would look at me like, we've never seen anything. And I just went ahead and did this. And as I walked away, I thought, I didn't even think about it again. That scares you when you're not thinking about, what you should do.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's time. It's time to quit before I make a mistake. And
we have, it's like you said, it's grandkids for us. I just came back from Cincinnati last night. I had a granddaughter plays basketball. I got one running indoor track, and we got one in soccer. So, it's just time now for us to do that. That's the big aha moment for us, really.
Yeah, and I think it's not only like what we're talking about, because those were hobbies for us, but I think even certain points in your professional life or personal life and so forth, there are moments when you realize, it's time to turn the page and move on to the next chapter in life and so forth. Do you have anything like that, Galen?
Oh, yeah.
Five minutes ago, I said, what am I doing here?
But you know what I'm doing now? I love doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'll do it as long as I can, but I enjoy it. But my grandkids are grown.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, for you guys, I know it had nothing to do, I really believe this, it had nothing to do with Greenville winning and losing.
No.
And some people might think that. Mm-hmm. I talked to you for a couple of years, and yep. we've been talking about your grandkids. And mm-hmm. They grow up so quick, and you can't get a do-over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the thing, and it's short. You know, it's short. It happens quick.
Yeah.
You know, you only got them for 4 or 5 years, depending where they're at, and that's it. So, you cut us, we bleed Greenville green, still do. So, we had nothing to do with our winning.
Okay, you're talking about, you know, a short period of time. You guys think as we get older, you think that time flies by faster?
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
I have a philosophy on that. If you're a 10-year-old, 1 year is 10% of your life, and it seems like it takes forever. Mm-hmm. But when you reach our age, and I won't go into that, but 1 year is a really small percentage, bang, it's gone.
Yeah, it's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. You know?
I hadn't thought about that analogy, but thanks for bringing that up, Dylan.
Thanks for bringing that up, yeah.
Can I use that? Thank you.
Can I write that down?
No.
Hey, how beautiful is downtown Greenville right now? I tell you, I got to take your hats off to the city administration and the street department.
Really nice.
It is gorgeous down through there. And I know other communities around, you know, Dark County and West Central Ohio, same way. But it's just good to see something like that. It's real festive.
Pretty nice. It's right behind our esteemed cameraman there, Nick. We have this train set up, Mr. Lee Stanley set up for us here. Mm-hmm. Mike, stop up and take a look at it. It's really kind of cool. It's a really nice Christmas theme thing. It really looks nice.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere. It just keeps going around in a circle. I keep waiting for him to
pull
out.
Kind of
like this show. Yeah, we just go around in circles. I don't know where we're at. Anyhow, anything else anybody wants to bring up here before we wrap things up?
Merry Christmas.
Hey, I tell you what. Those two videos we had on there about the snowball fight, about the sled races.
Yeah.
Those were hilarious. Who did that? Was that Clinton did that?
Yeah, and there's two more coming.
There's two more coming?
There's one coming Christmas Day and one coming. So there's two more coming. I've seen them.
Yeah, those are hilarious.
I thought the one that had us in it, that where I hit you in the face with
I appreciated that. Jerk face. Well, anyhow, we hope all you folks out there just have a joyous and meaningful Christmas season here and a happy new year. And you know, as the late great, remember Andy Miller? As Landy'd always say, well, you know, as long as the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, we'll be back after the first of the year and try to put some interesting stuff out there. I enjoy the heck out of these roundtables myself, and hopefully you folks out there do.
I do too.
They're fun.
Anyhow, so on behalf of Galen Blosser, Ty House, Mike Stiegel-Oxwater, and Nick Schmidt, our videographer, wish all of you folks out there a very joyous holiday season, and we'll see you sometime again in 2025. Woo! Time's flying for us old guys, right?
Oh,
it certainly is. Hey, thanks for watching, folks. We'll see you next time here on the Roundtable on MyCountyLink.com. Goodbye, everybody.